Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, this car good, ISO?
Yo, it's good, man.
Yo, I've been getting some bad cars lately, man.
Not for me.
Yo, I need my money.
Yo, you good, Doc. You good. Check it out.
Hey, hold on. Alright, we good. You're now in the office to Dr. Big Al and my patient,
ISO, on Nick's Therapy
at 7sitemedia.com.
Yo, what up, ISO?
What up, Doc? What up, Doc?
How you feeling tonight, man?
I'm feeling good, man, you know. You got one day away, preseason starts. I get to, you know what I'm saying, start indulging in what I love best. You know what I'm saying? And then I know you like it because then I start coming back to the chair more often, you know?
No doubt, man. One day away from preseason and four days away from Knicks preseason, man.
I know, man. I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait. For
yeah,
real.
Yeah, anticipation, man. I'm you know, on the edge of my seat too, man.
I feel you, Doc. So what's
Monday,
on the menu tonight?
Monday in Washington. So that's one part of tonight's episode. We're going to get into town hall meeting that was a few weeks ago, and also the press conference amongst Knicks management.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the few things we've been hearing throughout since training camp started, from players, coaches, little tidbits and quotes and things like that.
Right.
We talk about the roster all summer, but also we'll talk about who we expect to start and what we expect, not for the season, but, you know, during this preseason, what we're looking for with this first week of games.
Okay. So where you want to start off at?
Where are we going to start? It's a lot, man. But where are we going to start off at? We talked about it a little last week, but I still can't understand why Noah's still a Knick, man. I mean, they haven't brought him to training camp, and I don't think it's we're going to find a trade partner for him. Why the stalling, man?
I think, Doc, the reason why the stalling is because I think it becomes cheaper for the Knicks to waive him once the season starts, as opposed to before the season starts. He's getting waived. There's no question about it. That's why why he's not brought into training camp or anything. But I think the way that it works is that it's cheaper if you do it while the season starts, as opposed to try to do it before the season starts. But if you do it before the season starts, then it's going to cost them more money.
So, I hope they're not expecting him to take anything less. I don't think he will. But I'm just happy that it's not affecting the team, that he's away and, you know, he's not causing a distraction to the team. But I just couldn't understand, you know, why it hasn't been done yet. You know,
it's going to be.
He is taking up a roster spot, you know, and there are a few cats on the roster with non-guaranteed contracts.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like it's all in due time. We have plenty of time. The one roster spot that I think that he's holding up is Alonzo's. As far as I think that he'll be able to move him up, they'll be able to move him up into a regular contract as opposed to his two-way contract. You know?
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Nah, the part to me is that I'm, you know, thinking about is what if a player from another team is impressive.
Right.
You know what I mean? And, you know, we looking to sign him, and then we don't have a roster spot for him. You know?
Well,
with the buyout, it's something that he has to agree to also. You know what I mean? So,
well, the buyout is already happening. The buyout's happening, Doc. That's why he agreed to stay away, because they're just working on the schematics of it. It's already a done deal. He knows he's getting bought out, and right now the situation is that we're just waiting for the season to start, and then we drop him like a bad habit.
Yeah. You know, too, I didn't know that Noah Vonleh's contract is not guaranteed either. So
yeah.
I think him, too, he has, you know, something to prove in this training camp and / preseason, you know?
Well, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, I think something like that kind of should make him work harder, you know? And from what I've heard or read from training camp is that his motor is high. You know, he's been battling. He looks like he wants one of those, you know, starting spots or, you know, a spot in the rotation.
Well, the good thing about Noah Vonleh is we caught him at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
We caught him at the right time. His game while he was in Portland, when he first got drafted to Portland, the game passed him by. He's more traditional power forward, grab rebounds around the block, whatever. Wasn't as versatile, and he wasn't getting that burn. Then he got transferred over to Chicago, and then over there playing with Chicago, and for Fred Hoiberg, what happened was he was able to expand his game, work on his jump shot, do the things he needed to do to transition in today's NBA, and then also he helped their rebounding cause. So that right there is one of the big things that Noah Vonleh brings, is rebounding, and he can stretch the floor. I'm not so sure as far as the three-pointer, but 16 to 18 feet, hey, you could, to me as a big man, that's all you should be mastering, 16 to 18 feet. Should necessarily have to always shoot threes, but just hit the jump shot enough to spread the floor. So, you know, we caught him at the right time, just like we caught Super Mario at the right time.
Correct, man. Dude's on the fridge, looking for contracts and getting one year deals, and dude's out to prove themselves for bigger and longer contracts.
Exactly, and what makes it perfect is that the fact that they're one-year deals, we can go over the salary cap to sign them back, and it won't affect us. Because we had their bird rights.
Yeah, that's what these guys been talking about since day one, since last season. I mean, they don't want to tie up space going into the 2019 free agency period, 2019 summer. And I'm kind of happy, you know, going back to what we was going to talk about as far as the town hall meeting and their press conference, they're sticking to the script as far as, you know, not taking on any bad contracts or like they said, not making any trades where they have to give up assets, you know what I mean? And they also restated that, you know, they don't want to give up assets for a player that they could sign come next summer, you know?
For the first time since the Dave Checkets era, you could probably say also the Grunwald-Woodson era, even though how short-lived it was.
I think you could say Walls, too.
Well, no, you can't, because here's what I'm getting with this. This is, it's been a long time where you have GM and coach unity all on the same page.
Correct.
You know, with Walsh and D'Antoni, there wasn't, because he expected to play Marbury and get the most out of him. And you know what happened? D'Antoni didn't play him, and he ended up having to ship Jamal Crawford and all these other players because he couldn't get assets. He couldn't get the other. You know, he couldn't get rid of Marbury in order to get the assets that he needed for the next year. And he messed everything up. You know?
Well, the other part of two was, you know, I think the interruption from above, you know, when they didn't want to make the deal for Melo when they did.
No, but when you first think about it, it's when you think about the situation as far as, because that, you know, it's two separate situations. Because mm-hmm. you got to remember, Chandler, Wilson Chandler, all these other dudes. These are dudes who got drafted by Isaiah. And you know, that was part of the ending of the towards the ending of the Marbury regime.
Right.
And also the Isaiah regime. But you know, then with Walsh, he had a specific plan, and D'Antoni had messed up the plans by not playing Marbury. He wanted to get the most that he could out of Marbury, and then, you know, possibly trade him or do whatever. But he didn't, and it messed up the whole plan. And then we end up having to get rid of a Zach Randolph while he's in his prime.
Zach Randolph. We thought that was the high foot of Zach Randolph, but he gave much more after he left the Knicks. You know, he surprised me for the amount of years he continued his, you know, what he did.
He did surprise me. I mean,
nah, we know his game, but I didn't think he would last as long as he did. You know, even with the last couple of years, he's been productive. You know,
right,
but,
right.
Yeah, we know Zach could play, but yeah, man, what we're talking about is the cohesiveness from top to bottom. You know, as far as big management and without interruption from Dolan right now. You know what I mean? Between Mills and everybody else, including Fizdale, there's no rifts. You know what I mean?
Right.
Everybody's on the same page, something that you've been stating all along. You know, and it goes back to what Fizdale been saying from since day one about keep what you kill. And that's been the motto since day one in training camp, and it's coming out of the players' mouths also that, you know, everything is up for grabs as far as starting spots, and everybody
should be.
Yeah. And you know what's funny, Iso? You went at it. We went back and forth about that last season concerning Willie Hernan Gomez. You know, you wanted to give him the starting spot. You're like, it's his. I was like, nah, man, that's not the way to do it. And you see how he, you know, how he started the season last season. He ended up getting shipped out because of his poor play.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's a situation because he just Hornacek was playing for his job. He wasn't playing to develop. I'm pretty sure Willie Hernan Gomez would have been perfect with Fizdale.
But I don't know, man.
He didn't
have that fire coming into last season. Like I kept saying, he expected the start, and once he didn't get the starting spot, he like his confidence was crushed. You know what I mean? We talked about the good summer he had. You know, I think that was the FIBA tournament.
Not
in
only
Europe.
That, but you think about what he did. He was a second round draft pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he made first team all rookies.
Yeah.
Like I'll give you a perfect example. Because what you're talking about is impressionable young people. Look at Mario Hezonja, right? Wasn't
mm-hmm.
getting no burn. He was turning out not to looking like he was going to be a bust or whatever. Once Frank Vogel saw that he was about to get fired or whatever, and a lot of players got hurt, he just started playing him a lot. Because that's the thing. Dudes, it's not a NBA isn't what it used to be as far as dudes coming in ready to play. Like, that's a rare thing. Like, players like Donovan Mitchell who come in and do what they – that's how rookies – that's how top five, top – are supposed to be. That's how it was supposed to be, like, regularly. When we grew up as kids, that's what it was supposed to be. Yeah, you have your bust in there, but for the majority, somebody out the top 10 is going to be right away impact. Nowadays,
mm-hmm.
more than not, you have majority of these guys who are in development stage. So Mario didn't get no teaching.
Younger cats.
Yeah,
younger
Think about it. Oh, look how long it took Oladipo to be where he's at. You know what I'm saying? Three teams later. So you have a situation where he finally started getting some burn. Once he started getting some burn, then now, oh, he can do this, he can do that. Because Charles Barkley said it best. The number one thing that separates players in this league is not talent. It's not talent, because everybody comes in talented. Even the players who you think are scrubs can go in a summer league and drop 50 on you. The difference is confidence. Confidence is what separates the role players from the starters from the all-stars from the stars, and stars from the superstars, and superstars to the legends. Confidence, man.
Of course, that's no debate, but Willie's got taken away from him when he wasn't given the starting spot. And to me, that was the right thing to do. You got to come in there and earn that shit.
He got his confidence taken away.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He shouldn't have came in thinking that the spot was his. I like the way Fizdale is doing it. You have to do it this way, and I think that goes from as a youth playing ball in any sport. You gotta earn your spot, man. Nothing should be given to you. And I think he got shell shocked with reality that, you know, you can't come in expecting this to be yours. You know, you ain't no superstar.
Yeah, but I'm a first teamer as far as rookies.
That don't earn you nothing.
Listen,
that don't give you the right to start the following season.
I don't say it is, to me, it's not necessarily starting. I don't think the not starting is what messed him up. I think the fact that he's getting no burn messed him up. Because that's the thing. I don't think it bothered him whether he started or not, but I think what destroyed him was that he was getting no burn.
But there's no reason. It's the same thing. Because if he had showed that he deserved it, he would have been playing.
Them dudes
beat him out.
No, because
you know,
not, to me, it's not beat him out. It's the fact of where the coach's head is at. If the coach is coaching for his job, then he's putting out the best lineup for himself, not necessarily what's the best lineup for the player.
Think about it.
He's starting a lineup with basically three guards at the 1, 2, and 3 that are all undersized.
But that has nothing to do with Willie.
No,
Willie's competition was Kanter and O'Quinn, and clearly those dudes played better than him all season.
It's not clearly because he wasn't getting no burn to show what he was doing.
I've seen dudes
kill other dudes in practice, and that dude who get killed destroys in a game. Just because you destroy one dude in practice doesn't mean that you're performing like O'Quinn wasn't killing. O'Quinn wasn't killing like that.
O'Quinn played well all season, man.
He played better than
Willie, man. And
Willie ain't playing like that.
Willie didn't deserve to play over O'Quinn.
If he
deserved it, he would have got it. He would have played, man.
Willie wasn't playing, man. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Because he didn't deserve it. I'm with Fizz, man. Keep
listen,
what you kill. You earn your spot, man. You earn your playing time. Nothing is given to you.
Fizz would have gave Frank more burn than he got last year. So who's to tell me that Fizz is not going to be playing Willie? It's just that Hornacek wasn't in a position to develop, man. That's big.
You in it to win games, and that's how I'm sure that Fizzdale mindset too. He gonna try to put the best lineup out there to win games.
All right, man.
You know,
forget Willie, man. He ain't even here no more.
It ain't about Willie. It's about the culture, and what we're talking about is, like we said, keep what you kill, man. And I'm eager to see, you know, what's put out there Monday as far as, you know, the starting lineup and we've talked since last season about the battle at point guard or whatever, but you know, from clips that I've seen from training camps with the first team and second team playing against each other, the first team lineup that I saw out there was Moutier at the point, Tim Hardaway Jr. at the two, Knox and Kanter at the forward spot, and Cornette at the five. I'm kind of almost sure that Cornette probably won't be our starting center, you know, come the start of the season. But I don't know, man. I have a feeling. I know. The fan favorite is Trey Burke probably to start at the point guard, but I don't know. I have a feeling that it's going to be Moutier. You know, besides that, you know, what I've seen in the clips, I think Moutier is more of a point guard that's able to set them things up. I don't think they want to play Frank at the one anymore. So that's why I got the feeling that Moutier is going to start at the point guard for us.
There's not really – that one talk is really not what Fizdale's about.
Correct. The position is basketball.
Exactly. To me, Moutier starts really depending on the difference between who starts between Moutier and Trey Burke or even Frank is – overall, what you can do on both sides of the ball. I give what's the name credit. Tim Hardaway came in. He's looking a lot bigger this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he looks bigger. So, and part of maybe the reason he was struggling last year, besides his lack of defense, was that he was playing out of position. You know, even though it's a positionless league, he can't guard no small forwards.
Correct.
He just can't do that. I don't want to have Cornette and Cantor on the floor at the same time together starting. That's too much pressure. That's too much pressure when you consider what the league is. I would want more versatility on the floor. So to me, I have no problem starting Cantor. Keep Knox. You could keep if Moutier's jump shot is more improved, then you keep he could possibly start.
It looks like he has been.
Yeah, practice is practice, you know.
Yeah, practice is practice, you know. I am hoping for it, but it has looked like he worked on it and it has improved.
I wouldn't doubt it though, but it just depends because Trey Burke could put so much pressure on you offensively. It's all about ball distribution, matchups as far as who creates the more mismatches as far as, you know what I'm saying, whether it's scoring or with their height. I like a Moutier, but who knows? Who knows?
I think cohesiveness, and I think pushing the ball and getting the ball up court, I think out of the three of them, he's more able to find people than the other two. Trey will probably put more pressure on the defense, you know, with his offense, and Frank is kind of like a mix between everybody, a little of everything.
Right, but I see
Moutier as the one out of the three that'll be able to find people in transition and make the right pass.
Right.
You know, most of the time. So that's my vision of him. You know, we talked about Fizdale wanting to push the ball more and get easy buckets, and I think that's a big necessity, you know, without us having KP. I think we got to get baskets in transition.
Well, here's the thing. That's why a lot of it depends on that jump shot, because you're gonna need the spacing. You're gonna need the spacing, and dudes are gonna definitely cloud the paint to swing the ball to Moutier to see if he can hit that jump shot. But if you're starting Moutier, I think you have to start Mario at the four.
I'm feeling the same way. I think you pull out of the five that we named, I think you pull out Cornette and you plug in Mario.
Right.
And so from what I've been hearing is like they see Mario as a point forward.
No, but that they see. My thing about it is, it's not. He's not trying to play responsibility where you're the point guard and this and this. He wants an offense where it's ball movement, player movement.
Right.
So majority,
but he's another one that could push the ball and make the right pass.
Right. Right. He can. He can. So I'm saying if you're gonna keep Moutier on the floor, then if you're gonna start Moutier, then you gotta have it with Knox, Mario, and Trey and Tim Hardaway to have more shooting on the floor. And then I guess the second unit of
Trey,
right,
Frank, Courtney Lee.
I think thing is now that Frank has 15 more pounds and gained another inch, and I told you, he's still growing.
Yeah, he's 6'6" now, they listen to him as.
Right. I guess now he'll probably start at the small forward spot, and you can move Courtney Lee to the two with Trey Burke.
Mitchell Robinson is probably playing
with Cornette. As a second
unit.
So?
I'm not. I think we'll see with Cornette. Maybe. I want to see what kind of minutes he get.
Because he's a stretch big, man.
Right. I think it'll depend on matchups and how well he rebounds.
Well, everything depends on rebounding, too.
I think rebounding is big for us. Rebounding and defense. So, like I said, without having KP, we got to see. I think defense is got to be our staple.
The number one thing is that there's nobody going to be on the floor that can't play defense. He's not playing you. He's not playing if you can't play D.
I like that, man. I like they talked about that as far as accountability.
Right.
You know, and this is not one of your favorites, but I kinda see probably instead of Cornette, I see Lance on the floor with that second unit. You know what I mean? Being that they're so young and he plays defense and takes pride in defense.
It's just about the responsibility, man, with that cat. I can't. It's like your game, to me, your game dictates your role and what you can do. If you can't really handle the rock like that, then I don't want to see you in taking shots off the dribble and stuff like that. And that was one of the main problems that happened with Lance, like one of the last years Carmelo was here. He was like, yo, you got the money, and then all of a sudden now you turn into this totally different player. You turn into a totally different player. You're not the same player who you were. You're trying to do too much. You got to play within your role, man, and that's big. If you can't play within your role, then...
The thing with Lance is he works on his game, and... He tried to translate it to, game situation when he's in the game. And, sometimes it didn't work out. And to some people, you see him as stuck in a role. But I guess to him, he say he worked on certain things. He want to let it out in game time. He has confidence in it. And I mean, over time, he's improved his 3-point shot. I think you got to
shoot the corner and all that. But
you gotta
as far as
credit on that,
but to
some
me,
things you kind of want him to, be on the control with. But I hear what you're saying, and I think he won't, be out of character as much as he has been in the past. At some point,
he has to prove to me that. He can be a poor man's Draymond Green. Draymond Green doesn't have the greatest handle in the world, but he has the handle to make it work because he dribbles and plays with confidence. And that's what I want.
I need him to play
and dribble with confidence.
I think Fizdale did too much in saying that about Lance, man.
Exactly.
Lance has got to be who he is, man. While his game after like a Bruce Bowen or something like that, man. Play defense and hit the open three when you get it and just be the consummate pro and best teammate possible. But I kinda see Lance in that second unit with Mitchell Robinson, Courtney Lee.
Right.
Probably at the two, Frank at the three, and Trey at the one. I think, the other part that, going back to Moutier in the starting lineup, I think they want to keep Trey and Frank together. They talked about them having success while playing together last season.
Right.
So I think they're going to want to try to keep them together on that second unit.
Makes sense. It would make sense, but to me, my thing about it, at the end of the day, the starting five has to be able to play defense.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be able to play defense. If Tim Hardaway can't play that D, then you gotta switch up the backcourt.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there'll be any hesitation to do it with how Fizdale approaches things or how he's been talking so far. I mean, you remember last season after, I think it was just after three games, they switched up and put Jarrett Jack in the starting line.
Right.
You know, so I don't think Fizdale will have any hesitation in doing that if things are not working out early.
Oh, no question. I mean, that's one of the things that I loved about Fizdale. He was ready to bench. He's ready to bench.
Gasol.
Yeah. One thing I gotta say about Fizdale that cracked me up about him. He was like, he had an argument with Marc Gasol, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Marc Gasol was like, yo, I need a better coach. He's like, hey, I want LeBron James, but we can't all get what we want.
Word. I think we being New Yorkers, I think we're going to love Fizdale. He's a West Coast guy, but I think he's going to be right at home. I think it'll be fun with him and the New York media.
What it is, like you said, with the title of the show, is what it is to be what it is, the challenge of being a New York coach, and to wanting to be the face of the one that did it. You know, like the last time we had a personality like this, he won a 50-something games. He got us to the second round. Same type of personality. You know, straight shooter, family guy type presence, you know, very loving. All the qualities that Fizdale has, Mike Woodson had. And when you think about it, that netted Carmelo in the MVP race, that netted J.R. Smith, Sixth Man of the Year. You know? I think that also netted Tyson Chandler Defensive Player of the Year.
Word.
So
you got some hardware in the meantime.
And that's the thing. It's just we know the NBA is a business, but the thing about coaching is, can you make somebody run through a wall for you? Phil Jackson was able to make Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal run through a wall for him. You know what I'm saying? Same can be said for Steve Kerr. A lot of people can coach, but can the great ones not only coach, but they teach, and they unify, and they are leaders of men. And Fizdale fits that profile perfectly, and it goes a long way, man. It goes a long way. We just need to...
Yeah. Hold on to that real quick. All right, so we're gonna revisit that real quick. But, yo, we got to shout out the number for the listeners out there real quick, man.
Oh, my bag. For real. We're getting into all our feelings and stuff. Yo,
word.
The number is 563-999-3716.
Press 1 to get in the queue.
No doubt.
Yeah,
back to
your point, ISO.
But yeah, you know, so we got the coach who accepts the challenge, and when the coach accepts the challenge, it's a trickle down effect. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Getting Mario, who could have went to the Bucks, could have went to the Thunder, could have went to a lot of different places. He went here. Because he's like, yo, I want to accept the challenge. Everybody is unified. Everybody's unified with the same goal in mind. And they have the coach that they want to play for. That makes a hell of a difference, man. That makes a hell of a difference.
That's the feeling. Yo, you get the feeling from Fizz that, yo, if you seen him on the street, if you seen him on the supermarket, at the supermarket, like you could rat to him, like, for a good half an hour about anything, anything going on with the team, and you feel like you've known him for a while, you know what I mean? Like, it seems like he's right at home, you know?
Yo.
And I think the players feel the same about him. And like you said, the feeling like they would run through a wall for him, you know what I mean? They believe in him and they want to play for him, man.
The most interesting thing that I heard from the media day when Fizdale was talking about Porzingis is that when they first met, they spent hours and hours just talking about family.
Mm-hmm.
Not even talking about basketball. And that's the type of stuff right there that allows a player to trust the coach and a coach to trust the player. And he can look into his eyes and be like, yo, I'm calling this play for you. I need you to come through. And he's going to come through. But most importantly is that he's going to allow Porzingis to be coach. And Porzingis is going to allow him to coach him. And the fact that he's going to be able to check Porzingis, which means that if he can check Porzingis, he could check anybody on the whole team.
Right. That was the formula for Pop's success in San Antonio.
And
you know,
for Phil Jackson's success, too.
Right.
Phil would scream on Shaq. Phil would scream on Kobe. Phil would scream on Mike. Phil would scream on Scottie.
And tell, you know, talk about them in the media also. I can't be mad at that, you know, that formula. You know what I mean? And I remember, you know, what happened between Gasol and Fizz. And, I mean, I'm happy that it worked out that way because we have him. But that was a messed up situation because I watched that game between the Grizz and the Nets. And Gasol, I mean, he wasn't playing bad, but he deserved to sit because the team that they had on the floor came back from a plus 20-point deficit. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Why would you take that team off the floor?
Finish the game.
Exactly. Even if, you know, they still lost the game, but you know, that was a team that came back. You know, why would you go back to the team that put you down 20 in the first place? You know what I mean? So that was a messed up situation and a situation I could never respect Marc Gasol for. But I'm happy it worked out the way it did because we got Fizdale in the process.
I can't wait till we go to Memphis, B.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait till we go to Memphis.
He gonna have them amped up for that, man.
He don't even have to have them amped up for that. When you think about what happens as a coach, when a coach gets wrong,
mm-hmm.
and he gets loved so much by his players, they put in that work. Case in
mm-hmm.
point, when Mike Woodson got fired from ATL, because Coach Drew snaked him out the job, and then he got hired by the Knicks. The Knicks made sure they whipped on the ATL. They made
mm-hmm.
sure of it. Like, don't worry, Coach. We got you. We're going to whip on this team for you. We're going to get them back for you. And that's what it's about, man. So
yeah, players know, man.
They know that Fizz got dealt wrong. So they know they're going to be like, yo, we getting this one for you, Coach. For real. For real, man.
Yo, all right. Yo, we talked about that first 10, but what happens to the rest on the list?
Well,
I
don't believe that out of the first 10, all of them is gonna be here. I firmly believe that not only are we gonna
not only are we going to stretch, Noah, but I mean, I could see us getting a late first rounder, second round, because I trust our drafting, I trust our drafting team now, so.
Mm-hmm.
I could see us giving up Courtney Lee to, say, an OKC or maybe a Houston for some draft considerations. You understand?
But
Courtney Lee
still got to get back. The problem with it is not like Courtney Lee has got like a $5 million contract or something. They got to get back the money to match his contract, which is like $12.5 million. So we're going to have to take back something for in return, even if it might be somebody, you know, who only has 1 year remaining on their contract. So, like you said, I want Courtney to be, you know, gone also. I mean, out of respect for him, too, as a vet and an Asian veteran, he deserves to be on a roster where he can contribute to, you know, I guess a championship or a playoff contender or something like that. So,
right.
I agree with you, man. Courtney Lee probably won't be here. Hopefully that paves the way for somebody that seems like Fizz is high on and everybody is high on is Alonzo Trier.
In my dreams of dreams, you know what I want. I'd rather keep Courtney and try to get rid of Tim Hardaway's salary.
Of course. But I don't know, man. I don't know if anybody taking on that contract.
Depends. If he's playing good, who knows? A contender could be like, bring him off the bench.
Yo, to me, Tim Hardaway Jr. is like fool's gold, man. Fool's gold. Man. I don't even know.
I can't even call him gold, man.
A comparison in my head, man. But
all I know, he did work out. He got bigger this year, and I just can't have him as my starting two guard, man. It just kills me.
I just can't. I don't want him as my leader right now. You know what I mean? And it seems like that's what it's gonna be. You know what I mean? I don't want guys looking to him for anything.
No. To me, my thing about it is I'm not worried about that because our leader right now is Fizdale. He's our leader until Porzingis can come back. You know what I'm saying?
Talking about KP, yo, something that we mentioned this the last time he was on the air, you know, would he be around, you know what I mean? But, yo, he's been there since the first day of training camp, and, you know, everybody's been raving about him and talking about how much he's, you know, been talkative and applauding everybody and pushing everybody in practice. Like, he's been in the mix. They talked about him, you know, rebounding for dudes, you know, whether they shooting or just being around everybody, and I think that was great to see, man.
That's part of the Fizdale leadership. I'm pretty sure him going out there, him seeing Porzingis allowed him to talk to him to be like, yo, this is what we need from you. This is what we need for you. And if you could do this for us, then it would allow us to be a better team. Trust me. Fizdale is no fool.
Mm-hmm.
Fizdale is no fool. And he knows that the importance of Porzingis. So I'm telling you, man.
Yeah. KP, I mean, we talked about this numerous times about him returning and when he'll return and should he sit out the season. And, you know, when asked about it, he's like, you know, they don't have any timetable on his return. And he'll he said he'll return when he's 110%. And the other part of it is, you know, the Knicks doctors clearing him, you know, and his return will probably depend on strength tests on his knee. And they said they want it to be even stronger than it was before he got injured.
But
you know,
but that's the thing about knee problems. I mean, when you have knees, it's like usually it comes back stronger. Your knee comes back stronger than it was before. So, you know, we'll see. You know, the important thing is that he has to play this year. He has to.
Yeah, you talked about that, man. It's a lot. Depends on when he returns and what he shows when he returns. You know, from now to the start of the season, I'm not going to ask you, and I'm probably not going to do it either. You can't put a number on Knicks wins. You know what we expect as far as Knicks wins, because we don't know when he'll return. So I think that number will probably depend on when he returns and what he gives. And it's kind of good to hear that he's not going to return until he's 110%. And that means, you know, he'll give it, you know, go pedal to the metal, you know what I mean? Not no minutes restriction or anything like that. I don't want to see that. You know what I mean? When he comes back, I want him to be full strength. KP. The one we saw, the MVP candidate, you know, the one who set the record for the beginning of the season last
right.
year. You know, so that was kind of refreshing. And like I said, it was refreshing to see him and his presence at practice, you know, this past week.
He has to do what he needs to do, man. And all, but at the end of the day, he has to be healthy and be able to play for us by the time the season ends. Because if we show the promise of the direction of the team with the pieces that we have, he shows that he's healthy. That's already a new team for the next year. So now a free agent can look at that and be like, okay, I can see where they're going. I love the direction. I want to be a part of the revival. I want to be a part of the revival. And that's important, man. That is very important. Because that established with Porzingis being healthy, it establishes and sets the tone for what we're gonna be able to do, man. If he's not healthy, then players are not gonna want to come through, B.
It's the truth, man. I think it's big that he returns at some point. You know, even if it's for the last 20 games of the season, or whether it's the last 40, 30, 20, you know, he got to show these guys that he's the real deal. The same KP that we saw, you know, like I said, to begin last season.
That's it.
You know,
he has to.
What's your take on this? You know, this past week where we've heard Jimmy Butler asking for a trade out of Minnesota.
My thing is Jimmy Butler wants to be a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be a superstar, and my thing is that while he's a great player, he has bad miles. He doesn't have a lot of miles, but he has bad miles. You understand? Like when you compare my analysis is like, you know, when you compare a car and you have 60,000 New York miles.
Yeah.
and compared to 80,000 Florida miles, them 60,000 New York miles are bad. It's stop mm-hmm. and go, wear and tear, wear and tear. So at the end of the day, I don't know how much life Jimmy Butler has in those knees. That's one. Two, he has leadership issues. But, you know, he's a hard-nosed player. He plays defense. My thing is, if he could come, only way I can accept Jimmy Butler coming to the Knicks is if he is in a secondary role or really a third-person role. Like, he cannot be the alpha.
Correct.
Even with Porzingis there and Jimmy Butler there, we need a next alpha, a true alpha, you know, a true alpha to lead the pack, a Durant, a Kyrie Irving, something like that. Somebody who, where it's unquestioned, who gets the rock late in the game. That's what we need. Because anything else is going to cause confusion, and people get their roles mixed up because they think that they're better than they are. And no doubt Jimmy Butler's good, but for what we're building, and also, you know, the chance of what we may possibly end up with, you know, a chance to end up with Zion Williamson, B.
My feelings on Jimmy Butler. I like Jimmy Butler as a player. Right now, I don't want the Knicks to. I want them to stick to the script as far as what they've said about not trading assets for him. You know, when I first heard it, I was like, "Yo, we gotta get him." You know, if we could give a minimal for him, do it. But, like you said, the wear and tear on his knees. I don't want to give Jimmy Butler max money, which I've heard he's looking for. And I don't want to sign him for 3 years at the age of, he's 29 now. So right now, I don't want to sign with the wear and tear on his knees. I don't want to sign him for more than 3 years. And I think it's going to be kind of difficult, you know, being that he wants a max deal. I'm not pressed to get him like I wanted him before because LeBron is not in the East anymore. You know, although we do need wing defenders, you know, because of what's up there in Boston, but
and Toronto.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure how long Kawhi stays there, but between Kawhi and Jimmy Butler, those are the two dudes that I've seen guard LeBron the best. Between Jimmy Butler and Kawhi, 1A and 1B in guarding LeBron, and it's just like what you said. I think that's most on my mind as far as his age at 29 and the wear and tear on his knees. I don't want to give him a 5-year max. You know what I mean? I don't know how much he has left. You know, he missed a good amount of games towards the end of last season when he came back right before the playoffs started. From Minnesota. I mean, overall, he put up good numbers. I think like 25 and 5 for them, you know, with a team that has Kyle and Andrew Wiggins, you know. So, I mean, Jimmy Butler is a good player, man. Like you said, hard-nosed, scrappy, but exactly what you said. He has to be the third option, you know what I mean? And, I think the third voice also, because I think one thing I haven't liked about him is how vocal he's been, you know, maybe too vocal, you know, and I don't know. We'll see what happens with him, but I'm not giving him the max, and I don't want to sign him for more than 3 years, so it might kind of be difficult, Jimmy Butler. And I'm hearing the asking price for him right now is too steep for every team that's inquired. you know. But I'd rather wait anyway till the off season to try to get him.
Right.
If we did.
Right.
Know?
Yeah, we got
the other part too, ISO, is that, you know, all along he's been connected to Kyrie.
Right.
You know, so it might come as a package deal. And how you feel about what you've been hearing about Kyrie in the news lately, you know, him and his press conference in Boston, you know, how he's expressed his feelings about Boston lately?
I mean, first thing I want to say is, any callers listening, please press 1 to get into queue so you can start talking. You know what I'm saying? I know we got some callers out there. Please press 1 so you can get into the queue and start talking. What he's doing is he's masterminding the situation.
Mm-hmm.
He's masterminding the situation, and I'll tell you why. He's saying all the right things. He put the pressure back onto Danny Ainge, not on Kyrie to take the discount, but
right.
back onto Danny Ainge to give me the max. He knows Danny Ainge doesn't want to give him the max. He knows this.
Yep.
Trust me, he knows this.
I'm with you, man.
But what he's doing is he's not making it seem. It's, if he gets the max here, he'll stay here. But he's like, you know, I want to be here. You know, why wouldn't I want to leave? And he'll make Danny Ainge look like the bad guy. Like, he didn't want to pay me. He didn't think I was worth it. You know? So he's doing everything that he can so that he can have the match. But he knows already that he's not going to be able to afford everybody. He knows that already. Because Horford can opt out and he re-up. He has to pay Horford. Right? He's going to the Morris brother soon, his contract is going to be up. What's the name is due for an extension this year?
Jaylen Brown.
Exactly. In two more years, Tatum will be due. Tatum will be eligible for an extension next year. So he's not going to be able to keep every, you know what I'm saying? And Gordon Hayward's already under the max. And you already just paid Marcus Smart $54 million. So you're not going to be able to keep everybody. But he can't make it sound like that. He can't,
right.
You know, he can't be like, oh, put it up in the air. And also, you know, he has to stay diligent in order for him to maybe not get traded this year to another team. You know, so he's doing everything so that he can stay here for this year before he can make his move. Now, if when the time comes, they don't pay him his money, he's out. Because he said the same thing about Cleveland and was willing to leave. So, you know, Chuck D.
Yeah, I feel that's the feeling I've been getting too, right, so that. He's saying he has to say all the right things, especially at this point in the season, training camp, you know, right before the season starts. You don't want to cause any risk. Already going to be about him, you know, re-signing. But you don't want to add to that by not saying, you know, the right thing and cause a
right.
distraction to the team.
He doesn't want
to
distract the team. He doesn't
right.
want to seem money hungry and all this other stuff.
But,
you know?
I think, you know, this is going to be the first time he's actually a free agent. And I think, of course, he's going to want to test the waters. But he's doing exactly what you said, putting the pressure on Danny Ainge to say, you know, either a max contract or I'm out. You know what I mean? So it's funny, man, the chess games these guys play, you know, through the media. You know, for us to read between the lines and see what's going on.
Exactly. Exactly.
To be seen, man. To be seen, man. Just like the first game of the season, to be seen.
Yes, yo. I mean, it's all part of the game. It's all part of the game, and once we get ourselves in position to where we need to be, then we're gonna be doing our thing, man. And we need to be players in the game, and that's what it's about.
Yeah, man. It's going to be fun, too, that I think they visit the Garden early. They visit the Garden early, so there's going to be even more talk about that, man.
They're in our division, so.
Yeah.
It is what it is, you know.
We're going to talk about it all season when it comes to Kyrie.
No, but that's the thing. That's the number one reason. That's the number one reason why he did that. He did that because he wanted to make sure that the conversation of him being a free agent is not talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Smart.
It was a smart move. I agree, man.
So
take all the pressure off of him.
Yeah,
take the distraction away from the team and
exactly.
Put it all of Danny Ainge.
Exactly. There you go. That's exactly what's happening.
I've been saying this for years, yo, but the NBA is a soap opera, man. So it's a big soap opera, yo. It's fun to watch, man. But NBA is a big soap opera, man.
Hey, it's a game of twists and turns. Everybody's playing. They're playing chess. You know, it's a chess move. It's a chess move, for real. Like you really never know. In actuality, what somebody's thinking. You think you may know, but at the end, you never really know, because dudes. Set themselves up and put themselves in a position where they're just trying to do their own thing. And once everything is established, you're just caught up in the web, man. You're caught up in the web. So what we need to do is just make sure we analyze and see everything that they're trying to say. Not what they're saying, but what they're trying to say. And from there, that's it, B. That's it.
Yo, Iso, like you said, our first game preseason is in Washington on Monday. For one player you got your eye on come Monday.
Of course, I want to see how Frank is doing. You know?
Yeah.
Frank to me is one of the big things that I want to see go down. I want to see also I want to see Moody's jumper.
Mhm.
I want to see how Super Mario does, and of course Kevin Knox.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep a note of that, and we're gonna check back in on that next week. But I think my number one is Mitchell Robinson. Well, both the rookies, Mitchell Robinson and Kevin Knox. You know, we've seen what they could do in the summer league. You know, but they talk about the summer league as if it's JV or, you know, tryouts or whatever. So there'll be a little better competition, you know, in the preseason. So we'll see. I want to see what they bring. Although, try it if he gets some minutes. You know, Moody's jumper, like you said, is a big key. Is a big key, because that'll determine, you know, what happens in the half court, you know, within if he starts.
Right.
You know, so I think that's a big key in itself. That second unit, you know, like you said, maybe Lee won't be here for long, but what Frank and Trey do in that second unit is will be key for us too. And I think the biggest thing overall is the whole team's, you know, if we, you know, of course we have some hope and expectations that we could be in the mix whenever KP comes back or whatever, but I think a lot of our season depends on what we do defensively. And I want to see the whole team's, you know, outlook and how they come out playing defense, you know what I mean? Something that we've been missing for a few years, and I think we've seen it late last season with Trey, is a dude picking up other point guards full court, you know what I mean? So I'm kind of eager to see what he does with that, along with Frank doing the same thing. And maybe they'd be a terror, you know, on the second unit to opposing second string backcourt. You know what I mean? Them defensively might cause havoc. You know, so I think number one is defense for me. Defense overall. I want to see how they come out defensively. What's their mindset? How aggressive they are as a whole, the whole team. So, yeah. Monday is cooking time, man.
Yeah, they're gonna. I look for them to play hard. I just look to see. Some development, man. Some development. You know, see what's good, man. See who needs to go, who needs to stay.
Yeah. All eyes fellas,
we got a call on the line. Last four digits, 7199. 7199.
Yo, fellas, what's up?
Ross, what's good?
Chilling. Just listening. I'm trying to get some background before I jump in the pool. Y'all seem to be in the deep end. This is the deep end of the pool over here. So I got to listen. I got to get my facts together before I make my statements, my questions.
Okay, go ahead, brother.
All right, well, how y'all doing? How's everybody doing in the room? Let me check with
y'all.
Good,
man.
Everybody good?
It's good to hear from you, man. It's been a while, I guess. You know, you've been
on your
off season too, along with the Knicks. But as the season's approaching, you back with it. But good to hear from you, man.
No doubt. I got two things. It's really three, but I'm gonna try to make it quick. First things first. The new coach. What kind of strategies are you expecting? Or what kind of expectations you have of him? With the Knicks going forward, how you expect them to look? Perform, defense, offense, you know, all his theories once he brings in his experience. What do you expect from the coach?
You want to go first, Iso, or you want me to answer?
Go ahead, Doc, and then I'll chime in after.
I think the biggest thing, and I think it'll translate to both ends of the court, is accountability, you know what I mean? Or especially on the defensive end. If you're not performing defensively, I think he'll be quick to pull you. You know what I mean? And the same thing on the offensive end. If you're not, you know, making the right play, you know, making the right pass, I'm not saying you're going to make all your shots, of course, but, you know, just doing the right things on the court. If you're not doing the right things on the court, you're going to get pulled. So I think the biggest thing for him that he'll bring is accountability. You asked about strategy. From what I've heard, you know, what he wants to do is push the ball at every chance he gets. And I think without having KP early, I think that's what they need to do.
Right.
You know, to get easy buckets, and it's gonna start with defense. Rebounding and defense. You know, you can't give up offensive rebounds, and You gotta play solid D, get the rebound and push the ball.
Okay. Sounds good. I mean, Go ahead.
I'll just chime in on what further what Doc said. Yeah, being from the Riley tree, everything's gonna start off on the defensive end. The offense initially is gonna come from the defense. That's the first part. Like they'll be looking to get steals off their steals, off missed shots, block shots. They're gonna be looking to run. On the offensive end, what I love is basically positionless basketball. So it's not necessarily the point guard's gonna always be the one to have to set everybody up. It's gonna be based off player movement and ball movement, which is key. Similar to what you see in Golden State, whereas Steph can initiate the offense. Sometimes KD initiates the offense. Draymond off a curl, maybe Klay can. Just being able to attack from different angles, different areas, so that the defense can't key in on their offensive possessions, or you know what I'm saying, or come up with a strategy to stop them. So that's basically it as far as that.
Interesting, because as you said that, it plays into my second part of the question. Now that we know the coach's strategy and the intent, who is the right personnel to bring about this practical theory he has? Who's on the trade block as a result, because they're not going to be able to keep up with the coach's theory? Who's your five that you put on the floor to begin? You know what I mean? Like, what's the personnel?
Go ahead. Well, we've been going back and forth with this with the show, and you know, I really don't want Hardaway as my starting two guard, but it's looking like that. Like I said, it's up in the air between Moutier and Burke. But my forwards, my locked in forwards should be Super Mario, Mario Hezonja, Kevin Knox, and Enes Kanter until Porzingis gets back. I figure they're probably most likely gonna have Hardaway there, being Hardaway and then probably Moutier as a big lineup. Because I know he likes big. I know that he's fond of big lineups, so that's probably most likely going to be. But like I said, a lot of things depends on this preseason. This preseason will determine who really starts. Because once you start implementing and see who works with who, then it's all set in stone. I really don't know right now. That's what I like, but I don't know if that's going to be the starting squad.
Yeah, I agree with you, Iso. I think we both agree on that. You know, I'm saying Moutier. I mean, I know the fan favorite is probably Burke, but I see Moutier as more of a you know, if they're gonna get the ball out on the break, Moutier is more of a facilitator than Trey at this point. You know, so. Like you
said, fans want to see Burke.
Yeah, I think he'll get time. You know what I mean? I think he'll get time, and also, I mean, it's not always who starts finishes the game. You know what I mean? So what's working will probably stay on the court the longest. You know, whatever team is working. I mean, that's what we're looking forward to seeing come this preseason. You know what I mean? What lineups he has on the court? What works? You know, that's what I'm looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, I think you have to put the best product on the floor, because, you know, fans are expecting a lot. You know, you've gotten good position draft picks and people want to see improvements. That should translate to wins after a certain amount of time. But we've seen a couple of setbacks happen, so I'm just so interested to see what this coach is going to do that the previous coaching staff was not able to do. And then how do you get the fans entrenched You know, because at the end of the day, it's entertainment.
Right.
You know, you can't keep selling tickets, and even though it is Knicks, and people are still going to buy tickets, but you still want people to still have that investment that, you know what, maybe this year we are going to see team turn around. We're going to be on the plus side with the victories. Probably get to the playoffs, but I think step by step for now. But I was looking for predictions, really. I was looking for more predictions.
It's
the
tough,
lineup.
Man. It's tough.
Oh, man. Me? Here's the thing. I want us to be 4 games out of missing the playoffs.
So you don't want to go deep in the, you don't want to go into the playoffs, is what you're saying?
No. I want us just missing the playoffs.
No, the fans
Why
don't want to hear
ISO?
That. Fans
Why?
Don't want to hear that.
Let me hear your reasoning why, ISO.
Fans don't hear that.
Here's the reason why. I mean, if they make the playoffs, I'm not gonna be mad, of course. But if you ask me what I want us just on the cusp of making the playoffs, because that means that we've played well as a unit, and Porzingis has come back in the second half of the season healthy, but it also still allows us to get a draft pick or maybe use that draft pick to help further ourselves in free agency. Because if we make the playoffs, then, you know, we don't have a chance to get one of the, we don't have a chance to get, you know what I'm saying, some blockbuster names are coming out this year. So, you know, I want a chance to be on the cusp of making the playoffs and then possibly getting a big-time player on top of maybe getting some big-time free agents along with that. Oh, man.
Greedy.
You're
being greedy now.
Nah, you're
just too greedy.
It's not being greedy. What it is a legit way of setting up a super team that can last. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you think about it, if you put it in football terms, right? If we're able, as free agents, to draft some great wide receivers or whatever, and we have another franchise player that's coming back to us, to have Kevin Knox on a rookie contract and then have a next superstar-type level rookie coming in that's on a rookie contract, now you have that kind of stability that you need. Because you need breaks, B. Like, to have Golden State, for Golden State to happen, you needed a player of Stephen Curry's caliber on a low contract. You know what I'm saying? You need that. So for me, the only way I can see us having it is maybe we get lucked out and we can get a Zion Williamson that can be a future superstar, and also get another star free agent. Now we have a super team that can last for a long time because some of our best players are rookies. I mean, think about what the Celtics have. Celtics have Jason Tatum and Brown, and they're under rookie contracts, B. We need that type of situation for the Knicks to be a great team.
I hear what you're saying, ISO, but to a certain degree, I think we need to make the playoffs. I mean, if we just miss it, okay. But we have to be in contention. You know what I mean? And I think, like what I've been saying for a while, that playoff experience, whether it be 4 games of us getting swept, it's kind of invaluable to the youth. You know, the young players in the organization. And I think making the playoffs is more enticing to, you know, some of the free agents than just missing it. You know what I mean? I mean,
I don't think so.
I think so, man.
I don't think so. Because
think about the situation.
If they just missed it, it's not like they missed the playoffs with Porzingis playing the whole year.
Right.
If they just missed the playoffs, knowing that Porzingis came back, so them missing the playoffs is an aberration. They know that they would have been in the playoffs if Porzingis was healthy the whole year. So on the free agent side, you can see the potential to make you say, "Yo, this team is better than a non-playoff team." They just missed the playoffs,
and now they got a draft pick. I see it the other way. I think you're more hinging on that draft pick than the other part of it. Getting put in, you know, if we make the playoffs, it'll be because KP came back. And giving him, whether it be 4 games, 5 games in the playoffs, you know, I think teams will remember that more. I mean, not teams, but free agents will remember that more than them just missing the playoffs. Being in it for those extra 2 weeks of the playoffs or whatever that you see in the Knicks, or seeing KP and the rest of the team, you remember that more than them just missing the playoffs. I think that's more valuable, man.
Go ahead, bro.
Than that draft pick that might be 12, 13, or 14. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Let Ross say something.
I see what you're saying, Iso. It's a pathway. Like, to me, there's no perfect path. But I think there's one that should be preferred by the Knicks. What you're saying, I see it, and I can understand it. Doc, I see what you're saying. I'm leaning more towards your side with it, and I'm going to say this to piggyback on what you said. I think the experience that some of these free agents are going to bring to the team will help balance out some of the youth and the experienced players. I think you need to have a good balance of experience as well as youth. So I think by getting another player out of the draft, it's another player that doesn't have experience. You haven't tested his mettle. You're unsure, even though you can go by college stats, but we all know the game is bigger and faster on the pro level. So you're not sure what you're going to get with another draft pick, whereas if you get a free agent, this person is coming with the mindset, okay, they just missed the playoffs. I know what I could give this team to push them over the edge.
Mm-hmm.
So the free agents are going to come in with an attitude, yo, they just missed the playoffs. Pencil me in and, you know, with a few adjustments, and this team is not just, they're probably a top six contender, not just making it to the eighth spot. So I could see it both ways, but I think we want an experienced free agent in that scenario. Because go ahead.
I feel you, Ross, but what I'm saying is you can still get the experienced free agent. But I'm saying is that by just missing the playoffs, you add yourself another asset.
Okay.
By missing the playoffs, you can be in the top 10 in the first rounder, and you can luck yourself up into maybe, who knows? Who knows? I mean, come on, we all know how these drafts works. Who knows? The Knicks can get lucky, and by just missing the playoffs, now add maybe a level of a Jason Tatum-type player to the roster, and then add a free agent. So now you're having two top-level type players, and one of them is for dirt cheap that you don't have to pay heavy money to in 4 years. And that works, balanced, and it all balances out great because now that's how you're going to have a super team in today's market, because it's going to be so hard for everybody to pay everyone that you need that balance. Nobody's going to hold
you. I'd rather take that step now, man, and then a free agent coming in and saying, yo, these dudes had a few games in the playoffs. Let's take the next step to being, you know, a higher seed in the playoffs instead of taking a step from being out of the playoffs to the next step being getting in the playoffs.
Yeah,
Iso, time ran out on this session, man.
Damn.
I know. Yo, thanks for calling, man.
called us earlier, Ross, man. Please, man. You made some great points, man.
Yeah, man. But thanks for having me, fellas.
No doubt, man.
No doubt, Ross.
Yo, Ice, another great show, man.
Yeah, man. We'll be back on it
next week. Thanks to all the listeners out there. Check us out on social media, Instagram, Facebook, iTunes, SoundCloud. We there. Also, the iTest NBA show on Monday. Next week, ISO.
No doubt, Doc. We'll be talking about the first game.
No doubt. Thanks for checking in the chair, man.
All right, no doubt, man. Check the card out.
All right. This is Vic Therapy signing off with Dr. Big Al.
And ISO.
Peace.
Peace.